it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, 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 Scotty Miller is not that guy that we were talking about yesterday. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning. You guys are nuts. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into hockey and or baseball, I also offer daily shots on the other two teams in town that I cover, those being the Penguins and the Pirates. But the football team went out and signed a wide receiver, Scotty Miller, 1 year deal. No money known yet on the contract, but look, it's a 1 year deal. He's 26 years old. He caught 11 passes last year. 161 yards, two touchdowns. He played in all 17 games. This, of course, for the Falcons, and this, of course, under Arthur Smith. But this is a special teams guy, 107 snaps on special teams. So he's returned kicks. He's returned punts. He's done a lot of different things. He's not that wide receiver. But the number of not just, you know, casual fans or whatever, people who are really, really savvy about this football team seemed to come close based on what I could tell from a combination of feedback here, feedback on some of our other programming, social media, and all that other fare. We're really like, this is it. This is it. They're just going to keep piling up these number four types and hope that they can aggregate themselves into a two or even a one. And that's not it. He's not it. And before I get into what I think actually is it, although some of that would by nature be rehashing a little bit of yesterday's show, because yesterday's show was about what it still is that needs to be acquired. I don't mean to trash this guy, and I definitely don't mean to trash the acquisition of this guy, because I think Omar Khan knows what he's doing whenever he goes and finds somebody to compete with Calvin Austin. And that's what I see here. We've talked quite a bit on this program lately about Austin, about what his place is on this team, about what his identity might be moving forward. And we haven't had conclusive answers. The reason for that is that Cal himself hasn't provided conclusive answers, not in either direction. I'm not burying him. I think he can play in this league, but there's got to be more. It can't just be every arm tackle that gets him to the ground. It can't be that we never see his speed because he never gets it going. And I'll say the same about him at wide receiver as I will on special teams, because getting real close, seeing something, almost had it, oh, it was there, that doesn't count. Even with respect to the injury that cost him his whole rookie season, this is going to be year three for him, officially year three. And he's a little dude, so he's going to be more susceptible to injury. That's just law of physics, I guess you could say, when it comes to sports. Smaller guys are going to be easier to hurt. So Omar gets himself some insurance. He gets himself insurance in a way that doubles that duty, meaning he has somebody to compete with Calvin Austin. He has somebody in case things don't work out for whatever reason with Cordarrelle Patterson, who also was an Arthur Smith guy, who also was a special teams guy, who also is expected to contribute to the offense in a semi-wide receiver type of role. So what Omar did here was he saw a big white space underneath Patterson's name on the organizational depth chart. He saw a big white space under Austin's name on the same chart and said, hey, here's one player who could fill both of those. And I'm sure he's not going to cost much. And it's a one-year commitment. Not that player. I'm going to do this one more time. This is not rumors. This is not speculation. This isn't even something I've heard from the inside myself. This is Omar, the night before the draft, you know what I'm going to say here, restructuring Alex Highsmith's contract to free up $7 million. He did that for the purpose of acquiring a wide receiver who would cost a lot of money, and he wanted to make sure that he had that money in hand in case that transaction could have been pulled off. This is not a GM who is about to back off from that. That's a heck of a move to make in front of everybody, plain sight, on the eve of the draft, one of your very busiest times as an executive. You don't build up the will to make that move without really wanting it. Omar wants this big-time playmaking wide receiver. Omar's going to get it, and it isn't going to be this guy. When we come back, J1Q. This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. They're located on Federal Street, directly across from PNC Park. Mike has more than 500 beers on tap, including from more than 50 local breweries. Stop in and say hello. Tell Mike we sent you. Mike's Beer Bar.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Today's J1Q comes from Adam, who says, hey DK, Peyton Wilson has the feel of a player who should see significant playing time immediately, if not become designated as a starter. Patrick Queen will be learning the system. Cole Holcomb will be returning from knee reconstruction. Landon Roberts is older, not an ideal matchup in coverage. Durability is certainly a question where Wilson's concerned, but it seems conceivable that the inside linebacker group has 2 3-down players for the first time in over a decade. Am I getting carried away too soon? Well, Adam, I'm going to go through a couple of nits that I have to pick first off with your question. One, out of respect to Holcomb, he was a 3-down inside linebacker for the Steelers this past season. You might not have liked where that performance was across the board with all 3 downs. But Holcomb was the guy who was dropping into coverage and doing that job. So again, just being literal here, he was the three down guy, whereas Roberts and Quan Alexander were not. Where is this going to go with Wilson? You said durability is a question, and yet at the same time, it hasn't been for 2 years. The final 2 years of Wilson's magnificent collegiate career, he had no issues. He's so far removed from not having an ACL that I'm going to guess he doesn't even miss it. I mean, look, what do you have to say about a guy playing as well as Wilson has over the past 2 years, being arguably the best linebacker in terms of performance here? We're not getting into potential and scouting combines and injury reports. I'm talking about just what he did on the football field. The best linebacker in college football, and didn't have any injury issues. We're not just talking about, you know, that he had to take extra care or this or that, or had to be limited in some capacity. By every accounting, the knee was a non-thing. Now, I say that, and he was still there for the Steelers when he was there, which means not only the other 31 teams, but also the Steelers passed on him once and then again and then again. Believe you me, if the Steelers felt that Wilson was legitimately the best linebacker out there, they would have taken him a lot higher than they did. So yes, yes, I will acknowledge that part of your question, that is, it's something that is going to hang over him, whether it's fair or not, whether it's substantiated or not. But I also got to tell you, there's a part of me that just doesn't understand this. There's a part of me that with the Wilson pick, more than any other in this wonderful draft for the Steelers, where I go, when does the risk outweigh the reward? When does the risk become something where you say, yeah, but we're afraid something could happen to him, versus saying, oh, here's this guy who might not actually be very good at playing football. There's so much to the NFL draft that's so meat market-ish. You know, Amarius Mims, the gigantic tackle who ended up going to the Bengals, probably stands out in this regard, both metaphorically and physically. He's enormous. Human. He's played 8 college football games. And you don't know what you're going to get from him if you're the Bengals. You just don't. You're basically bringing him in to teach him how to use his gargantuan, gigantic frame, and hoping for the best that he can develop not only the proper technique to succeed, but also the proper mindset to win battles in the AFC North. And there's risk there too, isn't there? Why doesn't that ever get brought up as a risk factor? It's only ever injury. And in a lot of cases, including, by the way, with Troy Faotanu, it's injuries that go way, way, way back. You know, I was in on the conference call with Troy after his drafting, and that subject came up, his own knee injury, and he just went, wow, I mean, it was years ago. I'm sure he's gotten tired of answering about it, because he's gone out there and played several years of, again, big time football and not had an issue with it. So I don't know. I want to take your question there, Adam, which directly was, am I getting carried away too soon? And I want to say, no, go nuts, Adam. Go ahead and do that. Except that there's a part of me that's probably held back by some of the same stuff that I'm criticizing here. So I'm a little bit conflicted, you can tell. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers. We'll do another one of these tomorrow.